Into Numbers chapter number 22. Numbers chapter number 22. You know, they say, what's wrong with the front seats? Y'all seen the commercial? The mom Skyping with her mom says, Mom, we won't be able to come for Christmas. Oh, really? What's wrong? Jimmy or Johnny, whatever, he's got lice. He said, I don't have just lice, I've got hundreds of lice. And I said, oh my. And mom and the grandmom are talking or FaceTiming together there, and the little boy runs down the back of the couch and he rubs his head all down the back of the couch. He says, now the couch has hundreds of lice. And mom says, don't worry, I'll be sending. Y'all seen that commercial? Said, don't worry, I'll be sending your packages. I wonder if that's what happened. Amen. Nobody wants to sit up front. Amen. Is it me? Spitting distance. There you go. That's holy water. You don't have to worry about that. Amen. Now, I was grilled viciously at lunch today and was told that I have to give a retraction, but I can't retract the truth. But what I can do is clarify it just a little bit. I can't retract what happened and what I said. It was true. Beck says, you made it sound like I'm an old person abuser or something. I said, no, you just disrespected your grandmother and I smacked you in the mouth. And she said, yeah, but you made it sound like I'm a horrible grandchild. She said, and she wanted me to clarify that, you know, she was very respectful of her grandmother, and the time that I slapped her in the mouth was her grandmother told her to do something and she told her grandmother, and it was the attitude and the tone that she used when she told her just to hold on or something like that. But nonetheless, I smacked her in the mouth for it. Amen. And she grew up to be a better person for it. She's a fine young lady. Amen. Look there. Mama's with her. Amen. So she's been aggravating me all day. Is that better? All right. She's not an old person abuser. She's nothing like Nick. She reminded me of that this morning when they were staying with us. And Nick was about 3 years old, and Deb spoiled him. It was right after Allison died, and they were born right close to the same time. And Deb spoiled him to death. And I was on her all the time about spoiling him, making him a brat. And he was a brat. And one day, he wanted something, and rarely did she ever tell him no. But she told him no. And if y'all was ever over to the old house, you know, off the kitchen, we had the back steps that went up the back way. Well, he was a little fellow, about as tall as Ruby is, and he went stomping off and stomping up the back steps and heard him going up the steps, stupid mama. But you see, grandkids can get away with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Sometimes. And in some circumstances. We got a chuckle out of that. She signs his cards now, Tupit Grandmom. Tupit Mom. When he graduates, his graduation card are going to say Pop and Tupit Grandmom. When he gets married, his wedding card from us will say Pop and Tupit Grandmom. When his kids are born and they come to our house, it's going to be Tupit Mom. See, the grandkids and the great-grandkids, you know, grandkids having grandkids, you know, our great-grandkids, so they tried to figure out what to call us. You know, Taylor was the first one. She called her Mom the Great. And I'm Poppy the Great. She didn't say Great Mom or Great Pop. She said, you know, Mom the Great and Poppy the Great. So that's what we are to them. To Nick's, it'll be Tupit Great Mom. If you found Numbers, chapter number 22, we begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all the Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I might drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, have sent them unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. We ask you tonight, God, to help us to see some things that might help us, Lord, to be the people that you'd have us to be, that would help us to grow where you'd have us to grow. And Father, help us to shrink back from those things, Lord, that we need to shrink back from. God, in everything, we just pray, Father, that you'd help us to see your perfect will for our lives, each individual here tonight. Not looking at someone else, not thinking about someone else, but realizing your word tonight is for each of us as individuals. I pray, God, that you would touch our hearts and lives and help us, God, to see something that would help us. Now, Lord, we can't preach unless the preacher comes. We're nothing as we stand before you people, but another tinkling cymbal, another sounding brass. And God, we just ask you to fill us with your spirit and use us this night to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. I think most everybody's familiar with this story of Balaam and Balak and how he sent for Balaam to curse the Israelites, to curse God's people. And when they got there, he did the right thing. You know, sometimes we act impulsively, we act impunitively, and we don't seek God's face, we don't seek God's will, we don't seek God's way in things. See, that happened to Joshua when they went into the promised land and the Gibeonites come. And the Gibeonites told them they wanted to make a league with them and they wanted to be their friends. And they lied to them and told them they were from a far country and, you know, make a league with us, make a treaty with us. And they didn't take time to seek God's face, but they made a treaty with these people. And it became a hindrance to them. It was a hindrance all the way up into the time of David's rule and David's reign in Israel. It was a thorn in the flesh, a thorn in their side of Israel. Even though they put him under bondage and put him under servitude, because they didn't take time to seek God's will, It was always a problem. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever done that? You acted on your own knowledge. You acted on what you thought was right. And the thing that you wanted, the thing that you were trying to stop or whatever it was that you was trying to do, you did it without seeking God's direction, and it wound up being a pain in the backside. Always. It was always there. Amen? It was always a problem. It was always an issue. Well, you know what? Balaam was the same way later on. He acted in what he wanted to do. And we're going to see some things that God shows you. He took time to go and seek God's face. But he didn't accept what God had said. See, it's easy to lose your spiritual connection. Balaam had a good reputation. Balak said, "We know that who you bless is blessed, and who you cursed is cursed." Amen. He had a strong spiritual connection. He could get in touch with God, and he had power that God allowed him to have, and God permitted him to exercise and experience, and he was able to do things that most people can only dream of. Don't you like it when you know people that have a reputation, have a testimony of getting a hold of God, and you have trouble in your life? Who's the people you want to go to? The people that you know can get a hold of God. Amen. The people who you know, when they pray for things, things happen. Amen. When they pray for things, changes are made. Those are the people you want to be around. They've got a spiritual connection. And there are folks in this world that have a good spiritual connection. Every individual in this church ought to have a strong, a good spiritual connection. You ought to be the people that the world looks at. And in times of trouble, say, "I need to go talk to one of those people down there at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, because I know that they can get a hold of God. I know they know how to rattle the throne room of God to get things happening and get things done. They know what it takes, and they have the ability." And praise God, I tell you what, we're losing that ability. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight something. You know, they say on Sunday morning you preach to the lost crowd. On Sunday night, you preach to the church crowd. Amen? I want to encourage you tonight, church. I want to help you. You know, I want you to not lose your spiritual connection. And it's easy enough to lose when you get your sight set wrong. And God came in verse 9 unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Preventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And look at what God said. "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Amen. "For they are blessed." See, God done gave Balaam the answer that he came a-seeking for. God done gave Balaam the answer that was in his heart and was according to his plan and his purpose. But they left and they went back and told Balak that Balaam wouldn't come. And he sent them back. He sent more honorable men back and people with bigger titles. He sent a bigger treasure back. And when he got back and Balaam seen all this, it began to rattle him. It began to change him. It began to affect him. And they said, "We want you to come and curse this people. And now we've got more than what we had before. And now, instead of looking at these men and saying, God said no, Balaam said, spend the night again and let me go talk to God again." Amen. Do you understand something tonight? Prayer delayed is not prayer denied. Amen. But when God says no, God means no. Amen. When God says don't go there, don't go there. When God says, don't do that, don't do that. And there's no need of going back to God and saying, but God, I really want to. God, I really want this. God, why can't I have this? It means so much to me. Does it mean more to you than God's sovereign will for your life? You see, God had told Balaam no. But when they came back again, Balaam says in verse 19, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say more unto me. We lose our spiritual connection when we begin to question God's authority. Amen. God had said no, but now when more riches and more honor and more title are presented, he's willing to question God's authority. He's willing to question God's period, God's place where he says no, and that's enough. Have you ever done that? God said no, but you kept pushing. God said no, but you kept going. God's word said no, but you did it anyway. Can I get a witness? Or am I preaching to myself tonight? Amen. We question when God says no, and we press God, we question his authority. We question things that we have no idea of what we're questioning, because God only lets us know what we need to know. Amen. God only lets us see what we need to see. Amen. God don't give it all to us, and God don't pour it all out to us at one time. We'd get heady and high-minded. We would think we're somebody better than what we are if he let us have it all at one point. That's why he kept Paul humble. That's why he kept Paul where he was. And Paul realized that God kept him in the place where he was because God had a purpose for him there and a purpose for the life that he was going to minister in, and the way that he was going to minister, the body that he was going to minister, and all the problems that it had. God knew what would happen if Paul was perfect in every way. See, a lot of people today, they spend more time worshiping Bible characters than the one whom they served. See, man has a propensity for that. That's why Hezekiah had to destroy the brazen serpent. Amen. God had a purpose for it. But men began to worship it instead of God. They began burning incense to the brazen serpent, and Hezekiah had to have it crushed and ground back into brass powder. See, we have something within us that when God says no, or when God says go, when God says don't, when God says do, that we want to question. Let's see what more. What more does he got to say? Amen. Hasn't he given us a word? A word that's true? A word that don't make mistakes? And when it says don't, we don't. And when it says do, we do. Amen. Hasn't he placed a spirit within us that Jesus told us when he, the comforter, will come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will teach you, and he will make you and show you the things that you need to know. And we have his word. We have a spirit to direct us and to guide us. And yet the spirit says, go this way. And we're going this way. The spirits are tugging our hearts this way. And yet we're pulling this way. We quite question God on every avenue, and then we wonder and we begin to get discouraged and disappointed because we feel like we're losing our relationship with God. Well, what makes you think you're not going to when you begin to question in God's authority? He's God. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient. He's all-knowing, omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. Amen. Man, God is God. Who are you? You're a bunch of dust that's been globbed together and formed into the image and likeness of God, and he breathed into you the breath of life. You're his creation. Amen. Amen. You're just a created being, and you're questioning the Creator. Over in Isaiah 46, 9 to 11, God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, that the man that executes my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. I am God, there is none else. Verse 9, he already knows the end from the beginning. Verse number 10, he's purposed everything, so why fight it? Why go against what God wants? Why argue with God's will? Why not accept his word when he says no, let no be enough? Let's not go and find out what more he's going to say. What more can I get out of him? What more can I squeeze out of him? What more can I force God and plead with God about? God says no, let's accept no. Amen. We lose our spiritual connection when we question God's authority. He knows. God knew all about this situation. He knew all about what was going on. All Balaam knew was one side. You ever get somebody come to you, you know, as a pastor, you get people come all the time, and sometimes it's a marital relationships. Sometimes it's individuals that have problems with this individual, or this individual has a problem with somebody or whatever, and people come and talk to you, and they tell you everything that's on their mind. Well, you know what? If you act on what one person tells you, you're a fool. Amen? I don't care who they are, you act on what one individual tells you, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Amen. You got to know the whole story. You got to know both sides. Amen. You got to get the whole picture. You see, God already has all that. Amen. All we get is the glimpses that God wants to let us have. All we get in this world are the glimpses into the glory world that God wants to give us and God lets us have. We can accept his truth. We can accept his word that we're going to struggle. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have trials down here. But praise God, there's something better awaiting. I don't get to see it all. I don't get to know it all. But praise God, I accept him for what he said. I accept his word for what he showed me. And I'm willing to take him at his word because he knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Why? Because he's God and there is none else like him. Amen. Don't question God. Don't question his word. Don't question his spirit. Then don't question his direction in anything. Balaam loses his spiritual connection because he is not willing to accept what God has said. Verse 20, and God came unto Balaam that night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou say and do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princess of Moab. And God's anger was kindled against was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for the adversary against him, for an adversary against him, for he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and a sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with the staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Then verse 30, well, and the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thy ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless he had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Sometimes we mistake God's permissive will, for his divine will. We abuse his permissive will. He allows us to do things. He allows us to have free will and to have free reign in our lives. He allows us to go and to do what we want. Although he speaks to us and he says no. Although he speaks to us and he says, well, if that's what you want, you do it. Just because he allows it doesn't mean it's what he wants. Amen? See, God allows evil in the world, but he doesn't sanction it. He doesn't approve of it. He allows it. God allows bad things to happen to good people. Amen? It's not because he likes it, but he lets it happen. God lets people die and go to hell. Not because he wants them to, but because he permits them to. Sometimes we abuse God's permissive will. And we blame God for things that happen in our lives when God had plainly told us no. Amen? When the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land, they rejected the counsel of Joshua and Caleb and listened to the counsel of the evil spies that went in. Although Moses and although Joshua and Caleb told them, as long as God goes with us, we're all right. He done brought us out of Egypt. He done brought us through the Red Sea. He's done brought us this far through the wilderness. These 2 years we've been here in the wilderness, and God has been preparing us to go in. He's provided everything that we needed. He gave us water to drink. He gave us food from heaven. He supplied everything that we need, and they wouldn't go in. And then when they realized after a while that they had rejected God's plan, they had rejected God's word, they had rejected God's way, and they said, oh, well, we're going to go in now. They were told not to go. But they went anyway. Anybody remember what happened? They got their butts kicked. Amen. They got beat down. God let them go. God let them refuse what he told them to do. Balaam pressed God. God said, fine, you want to go, go. But you're still only going to say what I tell you to say. They got all this riches. They got all this wealth. They brought all this back to ply you with to get you to go. Go ahead and go if you want to. But you're still only going to say what I let you say. You're still only going to do what I'm going to allow you to do. And here's a man that had great power. Whom thou blessest is blessed. Whom thou cursest is cursed. I believe he had great power with God in a way that very few men have ever had in his life. And I believe he sold that power for the things of this world, for the promises of the riches of this world, for the promises of the earthly titles. God let him go. God will let you have whatever you want to. God will give you jobs. When he's told you no, it's not the job for you, he'll give you the promotion. When God, if you've asked him and he's told you no, and you keep pressing, he'll say, fine, that's what you want. Fine, go do it. Fine, if that's what you're seeking after. God will give you the title if that means so much to you. God will give you what you want, but God's permissive will is sometimes greatly misunderstood. It's greatly confused. It just means when you think of permissive will, it suggests some sort of positive sanction. But what it means is just God permits it. Just like he allows evil in the world. God just lets it happen. Lets it fly. Some people and some religions, they want to make God impotent by using the fact that he doesn't prevent things to happen when he exercises his permissive will. And that man has the final authority. Man has the final choice. No, God has the final authority. We will never take the sovereignty away from God. He's still a sovereign God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. And he can will whatever he wishes to will for our lives. But he allows us to exercise our will. His permissive will allows us to make the decisions that we want to make sometimes, whether right or wrong. When we listen to God, and he says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He won't make you do it. But his permissive will allows you to do it. When he says to repent, to turn away from our sins, to trust him as your Savior, to trust him as Lord, make him Lord of your life. He won't make us do it, but he permits us to do it, to reject him. Balaam chose, when God said no, to press the issue. And God's permissive will allowed Balaam to go. But when he got there, he still couldn't do any more than what God allowed him to do. When he got there, the only thing he could do was stand up and run up and down the mountaintops where they had him and bless God's people. The first time he went and sought God, and God told him what to say. The second time he went and sought God, and God told him what to say. After a while, he just got in himself. He just went and said what he thought God wanted him to say. And God allowed him to say it. And Balak cursed Balaam because he refused to curse God's people. But that wasn't the end of the story. That isn't where it stopped. You see, sometimes we question God's authority. Sometimes we abuse his permissive will. And sometimes we circumvent his instruction. If you turn over into Numbers 31, verse number 16, you know how many people come to me with things that are happening and things are going on or things they want to justify in their life? And they have thought that they come to me, they think they have a loophole to circumvent God's word. You ever deal with somebody like that? I deal with it all the time. Everybody's got a loophole to circumvent God's word. It don't work. It'll never work. Apart from what God has said and apart from what God directs, it'll never work out right. Sometimes as Christians, we try to find excuses when we don't want to do things. We got a problem with somebody, we make up excuses why we can't get this problem worked out. We try to circumvent God's word. Amen. marital relationships, that there's a problem in the marriage. We make up reasons why we can't work it out. We circumvent what God's Word has said. There's a problem in the church, and half the church wants this color carpet, and half the church wants that color carpet, and now the church is going to split because they're arguing over carpet, and yeah, it's happened on something that's stupid before, amen, arguing over the stupidest things, and it happens because everybody is trying to circumvent God's will and God's way for dealing with problems. Amen? But when God distinctly tells us not to do something, and some things God's word is very plain in. Some things there's just scripture that gives us an idea of how God feels about things. But he doesn't say, no, you can't do this. And, you know, I know churches that won't allow you to bring a tablet. You know, a lot of preachers today, you see, they come and instead of having their Bible, to have a tablet. Well, there's churches today that won't let you bring a tablet into the church. Won't let a preacher preach out of a tablet. What, I don't know what the difference is. It's the King James Bible. It's the King James Bible, whether it's on the tablet or whether, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. I hate reading books or manuals or anything off of the computer. If I download a manual for something I'm working on, I'll print it out and read it. I can't stand to read it off a computer. Becky, she reads her Kindle. She likes her Kindle. She, man, Dad, you ought to get a Kindle. You ought to get a Kindle. Not going to do me no good because I'm not going to read anything on it. You know, I might surf the web or something on it, but if I want to read something, I'm going to print it out. But there's some things that God's Word is explicit about. Some things that we can't do. Some things that we shouldn't do. And we try to find ways to circumvent. There are some things that wouldn't matter in anyone else's life. Amen? But matter the world in your life. Some things that, I'll use Brother L. There's some things that might not bother Brother L a bit and isn't going to be a problem, isn't going to be a sin in his life whatsoever. But that very same thing, if I got into it, would be a sin in my life. And God tells me no. And I said, well, Brother L does it. Well, Brother L preaches it. He's a preacher and he does this, and he's a preacher and he does that. God told me no. There's no need to try to circumvent it. There's no need to try to get around it. That's just exactly what Balaam did. That's how he got around God's prohibition about cursing his people. Here in Numbers 31, verse number 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the battle of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Did you get what he said there? Balaam told Moab how to get around God's prohibition of him cursing them. See, the riches of this world, the attractions of this world, meant more to him than God saying no. It meant more to him than God saying these people are blessed. They're my people. It meant more to him than anything else. It meant more to him than this spiritual connection that he had with God, where he could bless people when they were blessed, and he could curse people and they were cursed. And if God was able to pour out those kind of blessings upon other people at his word, don't you think God could have blessed Balaam in all that he needed? In every way that he was worthy of receiving the blessings. But now, since he couldn't curse God's people at his counsel, Balaam told him how to get the children of Israel to transgress against God. And you won't have to kill them. You won't have to deal with them, because God will. See, he circumvented God's prohibition. He thought it was all right if I just do it this way. Well, I couldn't go on the mountaintop and I couldn't curse them that way. And God told me, I can't curse this people, Balak. But man, let me tell you how you can do it anyway. Let me tell you how you can get this people to curse themselves. And what he did, if you don't know, he told them, and what happened here, if you're not aware of it, the children of Israel went a-whoring after the people of Moab. They committed fornication with the people that were the enemies of God. They got right in bed with the heathen. And it brought a great plague upon the people of Israel. I forget how many thousand died in this plague. How many? 24,000. 24,000 died before they put a stop to it. 24,000 died because Balaam thought he was going to gain by circumventing God's no. When God puts a period, don't put a question mark. When God says don't do. When God says leave it alone, leave it alone. See, Balaam, he lost his spiritual connection. The only thing that gave him the ability to bless people and curse people was the hand of God upon him. He lost sight of who it was that was the source of all the power, who was the source of the reputation, who was the source of this great fascination that people had with him. He couldn't gain the world's riches by cursing God's people, but he found a way to gain them by circumventing God's prohibition. In 2 Peter, Peter writes in 2:15 and 16, which have forsaken the right way and are going astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. In Joshua 13:22, we read what happens when you lose your spiritual connection. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. You see, when God says no, and we question it, when God says no, but we take a couple steps and he didn't strike me dead, we take a couple more and, hey, I'm still going. Hey, he must be all right with this. When God says no, and we find a way around it, and we look for a way around it, we lose our spiritual connection. It's easy to lose our spiritual connection when we long for carnal fulfillment. But it's easy to strengthen our spiritual connection when we long for the source of that spiritual connection, the source of that power. I wonder tonight, as we're sitting here, as you think about your life, we've all been there some point that I preached on here tonight, we have all lost the spiritual connection. We've tried to circumvent God's will. We've took God's permissive will and abused it to the point to where we look back and we realize that we've displeased God. We've questioned God's authority to us when he's told us no. I wonder tonight, as we stand our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, if maybe it's something like